Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This kind of sounds like the marching band that I passed by Sunday night, but it's not. Welcome back, everybody. It is hour number two of Feel Good Football Friday. Once again, happy 25th birthday to Cowboy B. Donald Trump going to be in the house on Sunday at Northwest Stadium. Nikki Giavallo of The Athletic says Donald Trump will be the first U.S. president to attend an NFL game at Northwest Stadium. He was indeed, as we confirmed, Mad Max had it first, but I just reread a story. It was so long ago, I couldn't remember, that he was at the Army-Navy game in December last year with the vice president guy. What's his name? The guy with the cars? I forgot his name. I'll think about it. I just can't remember his name. But anyway, the guy with the cars. He was at the game with Trump last year. The guy that does the cars, the fancy cars. The Teslas.
Oh, Elon.
What's his name?
Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon Musk.
I thought you were talking about that's not important.
Yeah. Elon Musk. Sorry, I couldn't think of his name. But anyway, Donald Trump will be the first U.S. president to attend an NFL game at Northwest Stadium. Not anywhere, obviously. But it's second football game in 11 months, so there you have it. At Northwest Stadium, it's just the first one was the Army-Navy game. So again, if you're going to the game on Sunday, get there early, because you're probably not going to get in until halftime if you show up at your normal time, which is right before kickoff or say within a half an hour to 45 minutes within kickoff. So get there early. All right, so we got that out of the way. Jaden Daniels is going to, it looks like, return this year at some point. We don't know when. We know that they're not going to reevaluate him until after the bye, okay? I would say it's unlikely at this point that he plays at the end of November against Denver. Unlikely, but not impossible. I would say it's probably more likely that he would play the following week in Minnesota, but even that's not a surefire bet. And I suppose, theoretically, he could have a setback or something could happen and he might not play at all. And they say they're not going to put him on IR right now. Maybe they will have to put him on IR after the bye. And then he would have to miss, if they were to put him on IR, the next four games. So then he would miss like a total combined six games plus the three earlier in the year. So it would be like nine games at that point. Some roster semantics, certainly. We can deal with that, I guess, I suppose, at that point. I don't have much faith that this is going to go well and much faith that this is going to go right and not just be an absolute poop show of controversy. But it is great news that he doesn't need surgery, because that would have knocked him out not only for the rest of the year, it would have knocked him out probably for the offseason program. And he needs the work. He needs the bullets. He needs the snaps. He needs the reps. Even after playing in 20 NFL games last year, he needs the work. They need the work. Everyone needs to work. Everyone needs time on the grass. Jaden Daniels, absolutely 1,000%, regardless of the record, should come back if he's healthy and if he's cleared by the doctors and if he's cleared then by the football staff. Jaden Daniels should come back to play, even if it's, I don't know, the last game or the last two games against Dallas on Christmas Day. and at Philadelphia, Jaden Daniels should come back because he needs the work. He needs to play. They need to play with him. They need to grow and build and figure out something together. None of this, no. We're going to shut him down because, God forbid, he gets hurt thing. You know how we can protect him from getting hurt? Getting rid of the football. Throwing the football on time. Not calling RPOs inside the 5-yard line. That's how we can get him to not get hurt. I've heard this theory that Jaden Daniels should not come back and play because, oh, he might get hurt again. Or there's nothing to play for. Guess what? There's everything to play for. He needs the work. He needs the reps. He needs cohesion and chemistry. Even though the team is going to be different next year. Even though theoretically, maybe realistically, there's nothing you can absolutely point to and say, hey man, chemistry, bonding, cohesion, reps together guarantees you success. We know logically, the more you work with somebody, right? Like Max and I kind of know each other. Max knows that I don't do a scripted radio show. Max knows that, you know, I'm a little bit different than what he normally does with Kevin. Why? Because, A, we worked together for a couple of weeks before.
It was months.
Months, whatever, before Kevin stole you from me.
That wasn't Kevin's choice.
I'm just teasing. I got to bust chops every couple of minutes here.
I know.
I'm not busting chops. I'm not doing anything. But you, even before we were, like, we had a pretty good chemistry even before that. And then we kind of and you just kind of know how I operate, and I kind of know how you operate.
I feel like we just pick up where we left off whenever we hop on.
And listen, I mean, we still need reps together, right? We still need to work together in order to kind of perfect the craft and to shape it, right? And that's exactly.
Like a big ball of clay.
Yeah. That's exactly what Jaden Daniels needs. Listen, guys, here's the thing. We cannot prevent injury, okay? We cannot just hide Jaden Daniels. I'm sorry, we can't. It's football. He has to play football. Even if games are meaningless, he has to play football. It doesn't mean he's got to play the entire game. If we're talking about week 18 at Philadelphia and the Commanders are stuck on 4-12, it doesn't mean that he's got to play the whole game. But he's got to come back if he's healthy, if he's cleared, if he's right, if he doesn't need surgery, which is what they're saying. He's got to play. He needs the work. He needs to prove, hey man, I can stay healthy. You know how I can stay healthy? It's not by hiding on the bench next to a space heater. It's not up in a press box. It's on the field getting rid of the football on time. Seeing things that are open. Even like the play that he gets injured on, even though he's got a guy in his face, if you look at one angle, and again, it's just one angle. I didn't see this at first. He's got Deebo Samuel flashing wide open. Now, again.
Kevin and I went through that play.
Okay.
Because we got a call about that on Monday. And I understand looking at it, because I had the same thought initially when you look at it. And then you kind of look at it a little bit more. The guy who's right behind him, if he cocks that ball back, he's going to get it swatted out of his hand.
And that possibly is true.
And then he also would have to sidearm it past the guy in front of him.
Understood.
So it's
not
if
easy.
He makes the play, one hell of a play. But I can't go into that play looking at the result and seeing the outcome, expect him to make something like that.
Nobody should expect. But I'm just saying, there was the possibility that it was there, right?
It could have happened,
just like the possibility existed that before any of that happened, he could just see the oncoming pressure, and because apparently they didn't have a hot read built in, or it didn't look like they did necessarily, And because they called an RPO on the 2-yard line in a 38-7 game, he could have gotten rid of the football and just, hey, man, you know what? Take an intentional grounding. Not that you want to do that because he's taken a few of those this year. But that would be better than potentially what ultimately happened, right? Yeah, it wouldn't be better than an incomplete. It wouldn't be better than a completion, but it would be better than ultimately what happened, which is him scrambling, getting dragged down, and him bracing, and we know what happened. So the bottom line is this. The bottom line is this. When you have a young quarterback, and even when you have a veteran quarterback, any coach, anybody that actually knows football, will tell you, I was talking to a high-end figure in the NFL this morning, and I asked, what do you make of this? Said, he's got to play. And that did not shape my opinion. I was already leaning certainly that way. But he's got to play. Why? Because you need reps. That's why practice is so important. That's why durability is so important. That's why availability is so important. That's why so many second-year quarterbacks, i.e. Jaden Daniels, and guess what? Bo Nix, too. You see Bo Nix, how much he stinks for the most part this year? Bo Nix needs work. Bo Nix needs reps, and he hasn't been hurt. Caleb Williams needs more work, and he hasn't been hurt. Drake May needs more work, and he hasn't been hurt. You get the point? Michael Penix has been hurt, but he needs a lot more work. Even though he was 27 years old coming out of Washington, they need work. They need time. They need reps. They need bullets. They need cohesion. They need chemistry. They need rhythm. They need the ability to decipher all sorts of different looks and blitzes and pressure packages. And do I run? Do I pass? Do I give off? Do I hand off on an RPI? Do I keep it on a read option? Do I keep it? Am I reading the right the end the right way? All sorts of things that we just kind of take for granted. He needs it. Jaden Daniels should absolutely 1,000% play if he's medically cleared. And I would be stunned if he doesn't. Stunned. Now, what I can't control is what happens if there's a setback or 3 or 4 weeks from now, we get to a point where he practices and even though you can't touch him, it just doesn't feel right and something goes on and they Noah Brown him or they Kyler Murray him. I can't control that. I mean, obviously we can readjust the compass when and if that happens, notice how I said when instead of if and when that happens, when and if that happens, we can readjust then. But the notion that Jaden Daniels should be stuck or shoved in the cupboards on the top shelf where Mama hides the cookies, no thanks. No chance, no way, he needs to play immediately. As soon as he's cleared by the medical team, and as soon as the coaching staff says he can handle everything that he's got to handle from a football perspective, and that means getting hit on that arm, getting tackled, that means that no matter what they do to him. Oh, by the way, Dr. Sabah sent me something yesterday that I forgot to mention. I didn't know about. You know Kurt Warner, who made plenty of headlines this week, had a dislocated elbow in the early 2000s and played the next week? It was interesting. I'm not suggesting that Jaden Daniels should play this Sunday. I don't think he should. Oh. I think that's being prudent. I'm not saying that. But it was ironic that Kurt Warner made all those headlines. And then she found, I don't know how she found it, you know, just Twitter, looking up, whatever, I don't know, but sent it to me, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Now, again, not every dislocation is the same thing, right? People can dislocate, I don't know, a toe and be fine, right? So everybody's body, everybody's healing process, everybody's medical staff is different. And as a society, I'd like to think we've grown, right? I mean, we've become much more stupid in many ways, but 20 years later, I think we have much more sophistication medically and also imaging. And also, I hope, in sports medicine and in sports therapy or sports rehab, we've also gotten smarter. I hope. Not always, but I hope. But I did just want to bring that up. So Jaden Daniels needs to play. There is no question in my mind. It would be essentially a mini disaster if he has a setback or if they get him back on the practice field 3-4 weeks from now and they say, we're going to Kyler Murray him. He just doesn't look right. That would be a disaster. That would be the worst case scenario. He needs to play. He needs to play as much as he can. Stop bleep footing around. Stop treating him like he's got a pacifier in his lips. Stop it. He's a football player. Let him play. And if he gets hurt again, guess what? He's going to get hurt again another time or another way or at practice or in a preseason game or next year. Football players get hurt. You can't. You cannot baby them. You cannot put them in a crib. He's a football player. And he needs to get better at football. Ready? Wait for it. Not because he's not good enough, but because he can't protect himself. That's what he's not good enough yet. That's why he needs to play football. On the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. I think I've delayed as long as I possibly can.
I think you have.
You think I got to take calls next?
Probably a good idea.
301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you sure this song isn't called Hit the Road, Max?
It was very, very spot on timing, I should say.
Hi, Anthony Haney. How are you?
I'm awesome, actually.
That's good. It's good to see you. The one show that no matter what they try and do to hold me back, just continues to push and surge forward.
I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you, too. See, now you can make sure that I'm done at 3:55 so that Linnell can yell for 3 hours.
Oh, well, to be honest, it will only be an hour and a half today.
Oh, that's right.
They're cutting us short. We need
all
90 minutes.
Wow.
That were allotted today, Mr. Chris Russell.
That's because I hear there's a big local college basketball game.
There's a huge local college basketball game. Heard you're going to be in attendance.
You've got...
Court side.
You've got a better chance of seeing Santa Claus in attendance at the Xfinity Center than
me. So are you going to put on a Santa Claus suit?
No. Okay. No, I might in a month.
I thought that's what you were getting at.
No, I will be home watching it once I get done with my never-ending list of chores. I got to go to the T-Mobile store. I've got to go get an international phone plan because I'm heading to Barcelona on Tuesday. You know,
check you out.
Yeah, world traveler. world traveler.
Hey, look, I got to keep up with you. You always make fun of me for traveling. I'm not doing what you're doing, Mr. Chris Russell.
No, you just travel every weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
I travel once in a blue moon. I've never traveled internationally before. I'm going for work, man. This isn't
time?
A vacation. Yeah. I'm going to Barcelona.
Hey, I was in Barcelona
earlier
this summer.
Problem is the team is not going to be in Barcelona. I will be in Madrid a week from now, hopefully covering a practice. Hopefully. And then I will be covering the game. All right. So, again, Jaden Daniels should play. That's Anthony Haney. Be nice to him. He's replaced Mad Max because AMAC is out today. Cowboy B is still with us. Happy 25th birthday again to him. Let's get out to the calls for the first time this afternoon. And because I love you so much. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Jaden Daniels has to play, period. End of argument. There is no way to put him in bubble wrap. The question becomes, if we get to Christmas Day, let's just use that, and he hasn't returned, and there's two games left in the season, under this scenario, is there anything to gain by putting him out there if, say, the team is, let's just say, 5-10 on Christmas Day. Let's cook up that scenario. 5-10 Christmas Day, Cowboys, Northwest Stadium. He hasn't returned yet because they misjudged it a little bit. They didn't use an IR spot. He's been practicing, but he just wasn't ready. But he's fine. You want him trotting out there on Christmas Day against the Cowboys, or is that unnecessary? Let's get to you on the phones. Mark is in Largo, the Mark and Largo Show. What's up, Mark? How are you?
You're hilarious, man. You're funny.
Thank you. I try.
I don't. You know what, Chris? I'm not sure. If they're 5-10, we know the changes are going to be coming. If Cliff is going to be gone, why should you put him out there? I mean, I understand. I view what you're saying is valid, very valid. Now, if they're winning, it's a different story. But if it's 5-10, we know changes are coming. And we definitely know it's going to be a new defense coordinator. And it's probably going to be a new offensive coordinator. So why?
I was going to say, do we know that for sure? Do we know that for sure? Either end. Because I don't think we know that for sure.
There's no way in hell they're bringing Joe Witt back. There's no way in hell.
What if they bring in a different play caller and Joe Witt's still on the staff?
That could be done. I could see that being done. They promote somebody else or they bring in someone who's more experienced. I could see that happening. That could be done. But Cliff, I think the question is, look, I've said this repeatedly. Jay needs to be in a pro-style offense. I think a Shanahan or McVay offense would be perfect for him. I think he would benefit greatly if he was in Ben Johnson's offense. I truly believe that. I think he would. I just think this is what we saw in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury. People figured his offense out, and he doesn't have a really come back for it in the second year. And we saw that in Arizona. And I think you have to ask yourself this question. Yes, you can get better talent. It's clearly a talent issue on the offense. So if you want to keep Cliff and run it back and get more talent, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But at 5-10, I think everything is on the table. Now, if you're not going to get rid of – we know they're not going to get rid of Adam. They're probably not going to get rid of Dan. You would have to do something with the coordinators. You know, I don't know. I mean – it depends on where they are. They're sitting right now, but I could be wrong.
Okay, I got you. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Got a lot of calls we got to get to. Appreciate you. That's the Mark and Largo Show. I don't think it's a guarantee that either coordinator is gone. I mean, listen, would I be surprised if Joe Witt is still calling plays next year? Yeah, of course. But what if this down-to-the-sideline thing goes a little bit better than people are anticipating? What if somehow, some way they show progress? What if they're just so loyal to Joe Witt that they don't honestly think, like real live football people, don't think that's a problem or he's the problem? They realize, hey, man, Quan Martin. Hey, man, Mikey Sanristil. Hey, man, Frankie Louvu. Hey, man, Bobby Wagner. Hey, Daron Payne is Daron Payne. All of those guys regressed, not because of scheme, but because they had a bad year, because they didn't do something right. What if they determined that? We don't know. That's not what I want to talk about today, so just keep that in mind. All right, let's squeeze in one more here. Let's get to Bill in Arlington next up. What's up, Bill? How are you?
Hey, Chris, I know it's not popular to disagree with the host, but I don't think it's an absolute he must play. And I also don't think it's as simple as you can't play him. I think you got to look at how the next X number of games go and see if they've managed to get receivers that can get down the field and a running game to get going. So there's some chance that the opposing team doesn't have nine guys in the box with their ears pinned back and he turns into hero mode because he doesn't have any options. And so that's the only thing I would say. If you put Mariota out there and he gets shelled for the next 4 or 5 weeks, then I don't think there's any reason to bring him back because all you're doing is endangering him.
Now, Bill, you bring up some good points, but here's my question, okay? Like, they need to do that for Marcus Mariota and for this team, not for Jaden. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to do that because they need to be better at those areas. But I also think this lack of separation thing is something that's been cooked up because of Chris Collinsworth on Sunday night, because he showed one or two plays that receivers didn't get separation, and because there's no Terry, and because there's no Noah, and because they lost Luke McCaffrey. That's not what the tape showed. That's not what the highlight, I mean, what the all 22 showed. On some plays, yes. Some plays this year, absolutely. That's not what I've seen, and that's not what a lot of people have seen, quite honestly.
I think the part of the challenge with the defense is they're on the field too much because the offense just hasn't been able to get going. And it's a different discussion, but I actually don't think we've got a one that we've wasted a lot of time talking about in contract negotiation with a guy who's not really a one. You need a different version of a receiving core in this town, totally. And if you do that, I think you have the chance to reopen the running game, which we've had trouble with. And if you do that, I think you give Jaden a chance to play responsibly and protect himself, because it feels to me like he's just, you know, putting on the cape, because there aren't a lot of good options. Now, maybe there are more than he's seeing and he's off, but to me, it's, you know, like they all say, it's complimentary football, right? Offense isn't on the field enough. That puts way too much pressure on the defense. Defense has been exposed. They get down. That makes Jaden feel like the pressure's on him, and it's a vicious circle. All I'm saying is take a look at what happens with Mariota in the next few games. If it looks like they're putting a real product on the field and they're able to create an offense, which I agree with you, they need to do, regardless of the QB, they're able to do that, great. If they aren't able to do that, I think you cash it in and protect him for the long season.
Good call, Bill. Thank you. Appreciate you. I don't think you can paint the prettiest picture. They have to play him because he's got to figure out when things aren't right and things aren't great and things aren't perfect, which they haven't been, and that's not all his fault, how to overcome this feeling that he's got to be Superman because he doesn't. 301-230-0980. Time for a quick trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I Roto Prodigy on Twitter says, come on, Chris. You know damn well his agent isn't going to let him go back out there with perceived backup receivers and project tackles. Stop the drama. And then he's got a gif of a house burning and smoldering. First of all, his agent, officially, unofficially, is his mom.
Yep.
Right? Which is going to be a tricky issue to navigate. I'm just telling you. Now and in the future. Number one. Number two, I want Jaden out there, even if George Fant, who can't even get activated, is the starting left tackle. I don't care who's out there. There's been enough excuses built in this year that has absolved Jaden Daniels of any blame. It is not all his fault. It is not mostly his fault. It is some his fault. He is the quarterback. Guess what, guys? He missed throws and open guys last year, too. I would point it out. I would say it on Twitter. I would say it on the radio show. Linnell and I would scream about it. People on Twitter would get mad at me or ignore me and think that I was just stirring the pot for no reason. No, I actually know what I'm talking about. I don't know everything, but I know what I'm talking about. You could see it. You could see it live. You could see it on tape. But he made so many big plays that he was able to erase it. That's great. That he either needs to do that or he needs to get better in those little areas that are so important. Take the check down. Take the underneath option. Take, Haney, you just real quickly, you know football. I know you do. You're at these games. You know somebody who plays at the highest level. The quarterback has a lot to process and a lot to deal with. There is no questions about that. It is not an easy position, even when you're an 8 or 9 year vet and surefire ticket to the Hall of Fame, right? Say Patrick Mahomes. He struggles at times. But you know what? You're going to keep struggling if you try and wear that Superman cape that so many people around here keep suggesting that he needs to wear. That's the wrong mentality. He does not need to be Superman. He needs to be the man. He needs to execute this offense. And I'm not telling you the offense is set up perfectly. It's not. He needs to execute this offense in a way that I have not seen consistently or good enough this year. In a way that he's either going to have to, again, start making those big splash plays to erase some of that, or he's going to have to get better at doing that. And maybe, just maybe, he can stay on the field. Maybe.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Because that, number one, durability is the most important thing. But when he's on the field, he's got to see stuff that he seemingly saw better last year than seemingly he's not seeing this year, if that makes sense. And again, that's not all his fault. That's not all his fault. So I want to be very clear. But some of it, and maybe a good portion of it, is in his control.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree with everything you're saying. I think just the fans in this, you know, the DMV or just Commanders fans in general, we have to be open to being able to criticize Jaden Daniels. And I think a lot of fans, when you start talking about their beloved QB1, franchise QB, something we haven't had here in, you know, umpteenth years, they get a little defensive. And I don't think that's the right way to go about it because, again, Jaden has not been perfect. The best quarterback game this season has been not by Jaden. It's been by Marcus Mariota. So if we can, you know, agree to, like, you know, see that.
You mean
that
against Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best quarterback game this season.
I mean, Jaden was pretty good in L.A.
Yeah, he was.
He was not great against the Giants. He was not good at all against Green Bay.
No?
He was not good against Dallas until he got hurt, even when he was in that game. And against Chicago, it was hot and cold, right? Up and down. But there was a good stretch of that game that Jaden felt like Jaden.
Yeah. But I say all that just to say we should be able to, you know, openly criticize Jaden. I think everything you pointed out about him not taking, you know, what's there, the check downs, the underneaths, throwing with anticipation. These were things that he did at a high level last year. And part of that was probably because, you know, he had the cast of receivers out there week in and week out. He had Terry. He had Olamide Zaccheaus. He had Brown. Like, he had all of those guys. So guess what? He was able to build rapport. He trusted those guys. He knew, all right, he's going to run this in route, not at 10 yards, at 8 yards, and I can throw there. So I think more so now, like, he's waiting to see. And when he's waiting to see, that's too long. In this NFL, you got to be able to, you know, be decisive.
And I think what you just said is a point that has been brought up more recently, right, about last year's group of receivers. You know, guys, not to toot my own horn, y'all thought I was crazy all offseason when I kept saying, man, this team is going to – they have now cut off. And especially when Terry was holding out, they were without their top four or five receivers from last year, including Noah Brown, right, who's always injured, and Terry, who was holding out and allegedly injured, and no OZ, and no Crowder, who, by the way, is still available, and no Diami. You take away the top four or five receiving options from a guy from last year, and yes, you brought back Ertz. Yes, you added Debo. I got it. But you take away that, and that is going to have – an effect not only in terms of production, target share, yards after the catch, what have you, but what you just said, Anthony Haney, which is really smart, is when you build in that chemistry, that rhythm, that cohesion, that mental intuitiveness, if you will, that football IQ type stuff with somebody, and you know somebody is going to run a route a certain way or break at a certain whatever the case might be, sometimes that's the difference between what we've seen this year and what we saw a lot of last year. Sometimes it's that subtle. Sometimes it's that little that a guy might break at 9 yards instead of 9.5 yards. Right? Does that make sense, right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That's essentially what you were trying to say. And I think that's a really intuitive point. I think a really smart point. I've concentrated more on, hey, man, they shouldn't have let OZ, Diami, and Crowder go, knowing that Noah Brown's always injured and knowing that you had a contract situation coming up with Terry. Okay, that's what I focused on. But the little nuancey type stuff, is not so little when you got to make these plays in 2.75 seconds.
Yeah. And I think, like, even if, like, you push back on the fact that, all right, say this spring, he had Chris Moore, he had Jalen Lane, he had these guys that we're seeing getting opportunities, you know, out there right now. The thing is, I don't think he fully trusts those guys because you have Chris Moore dropping passes. You have Jalen Lane dropping passes. So, like, do I really want to go back to this guy knowing that he might not
come
down
with
it?
You're right. He's worked. Well, I think somebody that you work with on a regular basis may have brought that point up, right?
Yeah.
And I can see where Linnell is coming from.
Yeah.
You should have built kind of a cohesion, a chemistry, what have you. But we know this, right? At work or in life, not everybody builds the same chemistry, rhythm, cohesion, understanding, mental, whatever, at the same rate, at the same parallel. So, and then to your point, if Chris Moore, who's constantly as strong, Chris Moore, who's open a lot, and I've been saying that all year, but doesn't catch. If Jalen Lane doesn't catch the ball, if you lose Luke McCaffrey on the first play of the game, and you're already down Terry and Noah. Like, all of these things combine into an erratic performance. But some people were upset that Kurt Warner just chose last Sunday night for some of those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just a one-night thing. This is not just a one-game thing. And that's the bigger picture, the zoom out, if you will. And it's okay. He's in his second year. And he hasn't been able to practice regularly. And he hasn't been able to develop that chemistry, that rhythm. I know we got to take a timeout. We'll do so right here, right now. But I just wanted to reset that. We will get to more of your calls coming up. Don't worry. Hang in there. You guys, you know, I mean, we got other things to get to and talk about and whatever. And sometimes we're not going to be able to take everybody's call. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Where's Triple H when you need him, baby? Still one of the greatest, if not the greatest, ring intros of all time. Little Motorhead for you, baby. On a Friday. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. As we roll until 3 o'clock. Let's squeeze in one here before...
I would like to say, sorry to interrupt you, sir. Triple H is a terrible booker.
I'm sorry, who are you?
He hasn't cooked in I don't know how long.
That's pretty funny. He can't hear me, so he didn't...
I can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me. So when I said, I'm sorry, who are you?
I ignored it.
Happy birthday, Cowboy B. He's a terrible booker. Oh, I don't...
Jey Uso should never see another title shot ever again.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. He was the most popular wrestler in the world 4 months ago.
And that means nothing now.
It means a lot when the WWE Nation or whatever the hell they're doing is doing that for 17 minutes.
Ability. It's just not there.
It never was. It wasn't about ability. Thank you, Cowboy B. Happy birthday. Hope you enjoyed the cake. Let's get to Chris in Maryland. Squeeze him in here before the top of the hour. Chris, just got to ask you to go as quick as you can.
Yeah, I always agree with you most of the time. You know, everybody is entitled to their own opinion, but I see no reason to pay Jaden. It's not to try to put the pamper on him. No, it's not that. He needs to take a Lamar Jackson approach. When Lamar came in the league, he was banged up. He was always injured. Jaden need to take this offseason and put on 15 pounds of muscle. And this is another thing. I don't believe y'all going to sign Jaden to a big deal ever because I always said that him and the quarterback that my team have is injury prone. And he's going to be a commander quarterback for 5 years, and then y'all going to be looking for another quarterback soon anyway. But I don't believe he need to play. The reason why is because I believe Marcus Mariota is going to get his ass killed. And y'all, your front office is going to see it, and they're going to be like, hey, why would I put Jaden out here? And I'm trying to think of who's your third string. Because
Josh Johnson.
Your third string gonna
Josh
be,
Johnson.
Yeah, well, Josh, everybody know what he is. So, yeah. But I don't believe he needed to play again because guess what? The roster is going to look totally different next year. You know you got to give him some weapons next year. Terry McLaurin should have never been signed, and I know you're not talking about that, but I don't believe he's going to be playing another down this year.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Good luck to your Falcons Sunday morning in Berlin or Amsterdam or wherever the hell they're going to play all these games.
They're losing Sunday.
To the Indianapolis Colts.
Yes, you know it.
I wonder why you're saying that.
I wonder why, too.
I wonder why. 2:59. Maybe we'll answer that in the final hour. Don't forget, we have not one, but two Super Six Packs. That's right. In one segment. Because we don't do one on every day that ends in Y. Only on a Friday, which does end in Y, on the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.